रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः। बालकांड चैप्टर नंबर 48 अहल्या। द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। आफ्टर म्यूचुअल इंक्वायरीज ऑफ वेलफेयर किंग सुमति एड्रेस्ड हिमसेल्फ टू द होली सेज एंड सेड हेल टू दी These youths, who are they, godlike in their might and of lordly gait, even as a proud monarch of the forests, or the majestic elephant, or the tiger, or the bull, with large and lustrous eyes, like unto the rosy petals of the full-blown lotus, combining in themselves the graces of the boy and the youth. Lo, how they shine in their martial attire, bow in hand and sword by their sides, and the well-fitting quivers peeping from behind. More like those heavenly twins, the ideals of divine grace and beauty, the Ashwini Kumars. Be these the gods themselves come down of their sweet will to this dull earth of ours from their bright home on high? How chance is it that they have deigned to come all the way here and on foot? What seek they? Whom are they here for? The twin lords of the day and night grace not the sky more than these princes, this fortunate land. Face, features, gestures, gait, speech, the keenest eye cannot distinguish the one from the other. These warlike youths, these lords of men, why have they trod this wild path and dreadful? May I know the truth that lies behind this? And to this wondering ears did the sage relate the details of their journey, their stay at Siddhashrama, and the destruction of the Rakshasas at their hands. Mightily pleased was Sumati to have as his guests the noble sons of the ruler of Ayodhya, and right royally did he entertain the valiant princes who deserved it so richly. They spent there a happy night, and at daybreak left for Mithila. The charming capital of King Janaka filled the sages with wonder and delight, and they could not praise it enough. On their way, Rama noticed a lonely hermitage at the outskirts of the city, old, dilapidated, and untenanted. At once, he turned to his master and said, "This holy place reminds one of the spot that was graced by your august self, but for the fact that no ascetics bless it with their presence." "Who dwelt here last, master, if I may be allowed to inquire?" "It required but very little inducement to make Vishwamitra hold eloquent discourse on the antecedents of the spot. Listen to me while I narrate to you the wonderful train of events that culminated in the curse of this lonely hermitage by the great-souled Gautama. One of the fairest spots on earth this was, when he dwelt herein with his wife Ahilya, engaged in a long and severe course of tapas. Why, the very gods frequented it for its rare beauty, and almost envied Gautama the possession of it. The lord of the celestials, Indra, loved the fair Ahilya and was ever on his watch for an opportunity to accomplish his wishes. And one day he got it when the sage was away from his cottage. Approaching Ahilya in the guise of the holy Gautama, the holder of Vajra, Indra exclaimed, "O thou, the fairest form that have ever graced the earth below or the worlds above, a merciless tyrant is love, and no rules nor restrictions that man can make have power to stay his will. I am not the master of myself. Full well do I know that it is not your season. But what would you have me do? Fold me in your flower-soft arms and let me lose myself in an endless dream of bliss." Ahilya knew that it was the ruler of the celestials, that it was Indra himself that spoke these words of delicious love, and not her husband, the sage of restrained passions. But deep in her heart lurked a tender feeling for the powerful lord of the immortals. She lent an ear to the temptation and was lost. Her long-deferred hopes realized, she spoke to him out of a glad heart. "Well pleased am I, O Lord, And now leave thou this place ere it is too late. One word before we part. Let no fancied sense of security blind thee to the perils of our positions. Take good care of thyself and stand between me and the dread consequence of my act of folly. But Indra laughed away her fears and replied, Fair one, never can I thank you enough for your sweet condescension to my unworthy self, and now have I your leave to go? He spoke and hastened out of the cottage, all afraid of Gautama, whom his fluttering heart saw everywhere. And lo, there advanced towards him the subject of his thoughts and fears, the holy Gautama, about to enter his hermitage. Gods and Asuras stood in hushed awe of him. Such was his inconceivable might, engendered of severe austerities. Fresh from his bath in the sin-cleansing waters, he drew near, the sacred grass in his hand and the bundle of fire sticks. The steady flame of the smokeless fire that shone not with more luster, nor was more terrible in its all-consuming energy. The mighty lord of the shining ones quailed in abject terror before the calm glance of Gautama that pierced into his very soul and read into the innermost depths thereof. His face grew ghastly pale, and to him, there standing false-hearted and unclean before the soul of spotless purity, to him, in the borrowed feathers of the one in whose guise he came to perpetrate his foul deed of shame and iniquity, spoke the irate sage, scarcely able to control his fierce wrath. Impious wretch, that host dared to spoil my pure abode with this nameless act of wickedness, and that in my name and in my form. It is but insufficient punishment to thee that thou be deprived of what served you to carry out your nefarious purpose. A man be thou to all appearance, but in reality the mockery of one, a pitiful eunuch. No sooner were the words out of the lips of the angry Gautama than the scrota of Indra withered and fell away from his body. Next, he turned to Ahalya, Indra's partner in guilt. Lie thou here for thousands of years, long and weary, ever hungry, thy food the impalpable air and the grey ashes and dust that cloak. No mortal eye shall see thee, but an unquenchable fire shall ever consume thee. At a future age, after thousands of years, there shall come across these wastes one Rama, the son of Dasharatha, of unapproachable might. Then, and then alone, shall this dread fate fall away from thee, and honoring your divine guest, thou shalt shake thyself off forever from these bonds of foul desire and foolish vanity. Then shall thy heart know peace and joy, and then shalt thou take thy place by my side in all thy fatal beauty. He took his bright presence away from the ill-fated one and left this holy place for the pleasant peaks of Himalaya, where the angels of light ever love to dwell, and there in that calm retreat did he take up his old course of life and its stern duties. Mangalam Koshilendraya Mahaniya Gunabdiye Chakravarti Dhanujaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.